The Big Lead is brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And I got a lot of news to get to, so no preamble here. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
I talk all the time about being a gun owner and also about the incredible responsibility that comes with it. And the number one responsibility is safety and safe storage. And I didn't own a gun when our kids were little and friends were coming over to the house and the kids' friends. And then when I finally became a gun owner, you know, I got safe. I just do a lot of things to make sure that we are as safe as possible. So when I hear a story like this local one out of Lakewood, it's so incredibly sad, but it's also absolutely infuriating. But I'm going to introduce an aspect of the story that I think very few people have ever discussed. An 11-year-old girl in Lakewood has died after shooting herself with her mother's gun while she was recording a video. It sounds like the 11-year-old girl and a 10-year-old brother were home alone, 11 p.m. on Monday. The girl shot herself in the head. The 10-year-old brother, I mean, imagine the trauma that kid's going to carry around for the rest of his life. The 10-year-old brother called 911, and when police arrived, they found the girl had a gunshot wound to her head. The initial investigation, she had just gotten her mom's gun, which apparently was unsecured, and she was recording a video of herself when the gun went off. They do not know if it was accidental or suicide. They don't yet know how she gained access to the gun. Okay, there are a couple of angles here. One of which is obvious. The other one, nobody ever discusses. Should the parent be held criminally responsible if they leave kids that young home with an unsecured gun that they can get their hands on and one of the kids dies? I mean, this mom is now enduring the greatest pain a human being can suffer, and that is losing a child. And some might say that's punishment enough. But you have to wonder if, just as a deterrent, we need to criminally charge a parent who leaves a gun within access to a little kid. Now, here's the angle, and this is why I have some tiny misgivings about what I just laid out for you. I have no idea if there's a dad in the picture here or not. No idea. So I'm not talking about this particular case. I do think that societally, it's challenging to have laws that if a dad has abandoned their kids and their family, and then these laws only apply to the mom. And I, again, I don't know in this Lakewood case if there's a dad in the picture. But when you criminally go after the mom, maybe she had the gun because she is a single mom, and some parts of Lakewood can be pretty rough. And maybe she thought she needed it for personal protection, didn't think, you know, maybe she thought her kids were old enough that they wouldn't do something so dangerous with the gun if they ever got their hands on it. But when we go after moms for things like this, I just wish there was a way to go after dads. If they've abandoned their family, if they've left the mother and their own kids in a fatherless situation, because dads will always get off scot-free. if something horrible happens to a kid, if the dad is absent from the life. The dad will always get off scot-free. That's pretty easy, then, for the dads who abandon their kids, abandon their family. And I will stress for the final time, don't know the family situation here. But just as a bigger picture thing, because I've talked about, you know, one of the greatest challenges we face and one of the greatest balms that would heal our country in almost every way is if we restored the family. If we got back to a family structure with two parents. And so criminally going after a mom is understandable in a case like this. But where was dad when this happened? And the fact that they have already said it was the mom's gun, I'm assuming the dad is not in the picture. That is an assumption I'm making. But dads who abandon kids and families, they are never held responsible for any horrible things that happen to those kids. When the fact of the matter is, being fatherless is often a contributing factor to why kids go down really tragic paths. I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this, because I know that's an angle nobody else would ever discuss. But I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Big Local.
We told you yesterday about the effort at the University of Washington to tear down the statue of George Washington. Because along with leading the army that allowed us to have a nation at all, being the first president of this greatest nation in the history of mankind, George Washington was born in time when people were slaveholders. And because of that, all of the things that George Washington did to help make this country be are to be erased. And the fact that he was a slaveholder is the totality of his life. So they want to rip down the statue at the University of Washington. On the campus, there is a young man who did his undergrad and is now in the UW Law School. And he's with the Campus Reform Group, the UW correspondent, Justin Bacher. And he told Fox and Friends that people just can't separate the good from the bad, even with someone like George Washington.
This is just another further example of how we as a society cannot seem to separate the good that somebody has done from the evil. This particular petition was brought forth by one of the student unions on campus and has actually been adopted by the school newspaper. So the school newspaper at this point is calling for the removal of the statue. And all of this dates back to a petition that came in August. But it really is just unfortunate to see this sort of attitude towards our founding fathers. Listen, I certainly don't believe that this program does condone slavery or racism in any way, but that doesn't mean that without George Washington, we would not have a country, let alone a state, let alone a university named after him.
Right.
So to think that we can simply get rid of all that history and forget about it is ridiculous and unfortunate.
And I will get back to the story in just a moment, but we have some breaking news that is just coming in to us as we do the Big Lead here. Heather Bosch is in the studio with the breaking news. Heather, what's going on?
Dory, we're just learning about an Amber Alert issued by the Washington State Patrol. They say a car was stolen from a Renton Safeway this morning. There was a 5-year-old girl in the back seat. So we want to make sure we get this information out about the vehicle the police are looking for. It is a 2019 Toyota CHR. It's gray, license plate number BPR7686. So keep an eye out for that. Again, 5-year-old girl in the back of a car that was stolen from a Renton Safeway this morning. And that license plate, I'll give it to you again, BPR7686. Story.
And can you tell me the color? And I know it's a Toyota, but the color and the model?
Absolutely. It is a gray CHR. So it looks like
Toyota,
it's a one-door type of Toyota.
Got it. Okay. Gray Toyota. She just gave you the license plate, BPR7686, but a five-year-old child in the back seat of this car. And where was it stolen from? What part of the area?
It was in a Safeway parking lot, is what they're telling us, in Renton. I don't have the address of the actual Safeway. I am told that this little girl is Asian. She's 5 years old, so just in case you see someone matching that description, as you know, in these cases, Dory, sometimes the person who steals the car realizes, oh, there's a kid in it, and they'll abandon the car, or they'll, you know, heaven forbid something happens to the child, but keep an eye out for her.
Well, and the reason why that is... all the things you just mentioned, why they will often abandon their thievery, is because you can get away with stealing a car, right? I mean, we used to have grand theft auto laws, but it is a slap on the wrist. But if kidnapping is part of the charge,
then you go to
prison. Yeah. And so, and a lot of times, as you said, Heather, these car thieves, they have no idea that there's a kid in the back seat.
Yeah. So look for that. Not only look for the car, not only on the streets or the highways, but perhaps it's abandoned somewhere. For heaven's sake, if you see a kid sitting alone in a car, call. Or if you see a five-year-old that looks like she's just out of place, that someone let her out of the car and she's not where she should be, call 911.
And I, since this is breaking news, I'm assuming you don't have any of this info, but do we have any idea where the parent was while the five-year-old was in the car? And do we know, were the keys in the car? Do we know any of those details yet?
No details on that, but it's possible if it was parked at Safeway, she may or he may have been shopping. We don't know those details quite yet. We'll effort those for you. That's a good point, Dory. You never want to leave a kid in the car, ever. Just don't.
Yeah, okay. All right, Heather Botch with the breaking news. We wanted to get that out right now. So especially if you're in the Renton area, because that is where it just happened, keep an eye out for a gray Toyota CHR with a little five-year-old inside. All right, getting back to our big lead here. I was talking about the UW George Washington statue when we got that breaking news. And again, Campus Reform correspondent Justin Brasher talked about why, after 110 years of that statue standing proudly at the University of Washington, why does this group of students think that they are so enlightened as to be the ones to bring it down?
You know, that's a great question. We have this attitude, it seems like my generation does, that we figured it out and no one else knew what they were doing before us. And you can definitely see it on campuses, including mine, this almost disgust, this palpable disgust towards our founding fathers and our fundamental values and traditional upbringing as a country. The words American exceptionalism are practically a swear word around here. Gotcha. And it's really unfortunate to see. And as we continue to go further and further down this road and further separate us from what founded us as a country, this is what we're seeing.
It's amazing. Every group today thinks that they are so much smarter and more conscious socially, emotionally, than everyone who came before. Okay, next up in the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Be on the lookout for a huge group of thieves down in the Tacoma area today. A gigantic group of thieves that have stolen hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of dollars. The group of thieves are Tacoma teachers, many of whom called in sick today. They were doing a sick out because there's no more reason, there's no more logic to not getting our kids back in school. And so they're trying to come up with anything. So now they are calling in sick today. Michael Spears at Cairo 7 covers that story.
They want the district to take a second look at this plan, and they also want parents to understand fully what they're signing up for. Teachers say they chose tomorrow because Wednesdays are typically the least rigorous learning day of the week, and they hope this sick out gets people's attention.
Yeah, it got my attention. You're a bunch of thieves, Tacoma teachers who called in sick today. Sick days are for when you're sick. Strikes are illegal by teachers. Calling in sick is you just thieving money. Now, nobody's going to charge you. Nobody's going to prosecute you for that. But morally, you are just choosing to steal money from taxpayers with your phony sick out today. And I'm tired of this. There is no data to support keeping kids out of school. But these teachers, listen to what they are demanding. They don't want to go back to school the rest of this school year. They don't want to go back next fall. They don't want to go back next winter. They just want the easiest teaching gig in the history of the profession, and that's teaching from home.
Vaccines are coming, but they will not be available for most of us before we are back in our buildings. And they won't be available for our students until likely fall or winter of next year.
Oh, bingo. They want all the students vaccinated before they go back into the classroom. And that won't be until winter of next year. And guess what? A lot of parents aren't going to vaccinate their kids because there is no reason to vaccinate kids. Kids are largely untouched, even if they test positive for the coronavirus. And a lot of parents, instead of putting a rushed-to-the-market vaccine into their child, they will just say, well, the coronavirus just doesn't affect kids in a serious way. And so maybe the teachers won't ever have to go back. And by the way, I got text messages when I talked about the Tacoma teachers a couple hours ago. You're such a hypocrite. You're working from home. Here's the difference. I'm having some of my highest ratings ever. My job isn't suffering. Nobody is losing because I'm working from home. I'm performing for my company and performing for my great sponsors. And by the way, no children are dying because I'm working from home. In the Hanford School District, they've had 5 kids take their lives by suicide since COVID began. The second one just day before yesterday. 2 already this year at Hanford High School. The emotional toll on children is tremendous. And anybody who tries to compare what I'm doing, which does not damage children emotionally at all, and my job doesn't suffer at all, to this ridiculous joke of remote learning where the kids are not learning. The parents know it, the kids know it, the teachers know it, that this is ridiculous. But the teachers' union does not care. They don't care that kids are killing themselves. They don't care that there's no data to support their position. But now they are saying they don't want to go back into the classroom until every child is vaccinated, and that might not be until the winter of 2022. This is one of the greatest scams that has been perpetrated on the public in my lifetime. And I'm not saying COVID's a scam. I'm saying what they're doing to our children and in our schools is one of the greatest scams of my entire lifetime. And that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We will check the news for you. And then, got a lot of other stuff to get to. If you missed the conversation I had with a humble merchant who was sick of getting robbed, it was one of my favorite interviews in a long, long time. And I'll play you a couple clips of that and get you caught up in all the other news of the afternoon as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Time when we all need a hero. I don't know if you realize I was one of the background hooers on this song. I wish. So a couple hours ago, I talked to a merchant at the Pike Place Market. His name is Mike Osborne. And Mike told me the story about he'd been working at the Pike Place Market. He gets there at 4 a.m. 7 days a week.
I work 7 days a week, but I open the stand at 4 a.m. and I'm by myself. First thing I usually do is open the safe to check yesterday's totals and fill the safe, fill the money with 20s and fives and stuff like that, all the change that we need.
Mike is 61 years old. He has been working at the market for 48 of his 61 years. Started when he was 13. He's the owner now of Soce's Produce and Fruit Stand in the market. And so he opened up the safe. It's 4 a.m. There's nobody in the market except for him and a couple security people at that time. So he went out to the truck. And he says it's usually 2 or 3 minutes, and he left the safe open. And when he came back,
a guy over my safe and had all my money in his hand. So meaning had my fives, my tens, my cash bag, my 3 days of receipts in my hands. And he was a big guy.
And he said it was $7,000 or $8,000 that the guy had. So Mike said, it's time to draw a line against these Seattle criminals.
What I said is I am not going to be robbed again. I might have added a couple adjectives, too.
And so then 61-year-old Mike went after the thief, and he was a big guy.
I cold-cocked him once, and so he dropped a couple bags, and then he took a swing at me and didn't really hit me, but kind of shoved me out of the way, and so I had a couple of other punches thrown, mainly by me, and then he got by me and ran out of the stand.
So Mike, 61 years old, chases him down. The guy dropped a couple of the money bags as the chase began.
Once again, I was not going to get robbed. At that point in time, my adrenaline was through the roof, so I just chased him down, grabbed him by the collar of his coat with both hands, and jerked him down, and he just went flat out on the tile, and that was the end of that.
And I said to Mike, I go, you're 61 years old. I'm 59. I used to be really fast. I was blazing fast a million years ago. And I said, man, you still got some quicks at age 61. And that's when he told me that, like me, Mike just got a new knee every day at 4 a.m., 7 days a week. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I live right across the street. And I took a couple weeks off last year to get my knee replaced, and that was about it. So
Wait, hold on. Time out, Mike. I had my knee replaced exactly 1 year ago. You chased this guy down on a new knee?
Yeah. Well, my other one I had done 2 years ago, so it was good as gold. So, I feel like I got everything all fixed. I'm good for another 30,000 miles now.
Another 30,000 miles in him. By the way, the thief has 76 previous arrests in Seattle, including for violently beating a nurse a few years ago. And because of our revolving door of justice, 76 time offenders are still out at 4:30 in the morning looking for someone upon who to prey. But 61-year-old Mike Osborne, he had a little fight in him. And he took the guy down. He sat on him until security arrived. And come on. We need a hero in these tough times. I'm voting for Mike at Soce's Produce and Fruit in the Pike Place Market. Take me up full here. Got a new hero. All right. You can take it down now. We're going to bring it down just a bit. Hey, I want to update you on a story. Yesterday, we had the Tiger Woods breaking news throughout the afternoon, and I was not able to update you on a story that just had us on fire last Thursday and Friday. It was the school board meeting in Oakley, California, where they thought it was private and the school board members were just talking amongst themselves, but it wasn't private, and a parent was recording it. But what we found out, and this is not isolated to this one school board, if you heard of some administrations talk about kids and parents, you'd be shocked. At the Oakley School Board, they were mocking the parents who wanted their kids back in the classroom. And this just gives you a glimpse of what, if you're a parent who loves your kids and they're dealing with anxiety and stress and they're not learning anything, listen to what this one school board said about parents who want to get their kids back in the classroom.
It's like, whatever, I wasn't doing anything bad. I honestly don't.
Oh, and she's talking about a parent sent her a nasty letter, and this is what she wants to say and do to that parent.
Don't care about that part, but you know what? Are we alone?
Yeah.
If you're going to call me out, I'm going to f*** you up. Sorry, that's just me.
You know, they forget that there's real people on the other side of those letters that they're writing.
Yes.
We're real community members. We have kids or have known kids that have gone to these schools.
Right.
We have a vested interest in this process, and they don't know what we
right.
do behind the scenes. And it's really unfortunate exactly. that they want to pick on us because right. they want their babysitters back.
Right.
Ooh.
Right.
Right. Right, right, right. Everyone agreed with that, that the teachers are just babysitters. And the only reason the parents want their kids back in school is to get their babysitters back. But we found out from another member of the school board, the reason the parents want their kids out of the house is so mom and dad can sit home and smoke weed all day.
I totally hear that because my brother had a delivery. Yeah. My brother had a delivery service for medical marijuana. The clientele were parents with their kids in school.
Oh, we thought you wanted your kids back for education and an emotional adjustment, but you just want to stay home and smoke weed, they told us. But listen to this, and I have an update on this story. I'm not just playing this randomly. Listen to when they discovered that it was not a private conversation and parents might be listening.
Uh-oh. Laura Lanye, just FYI, you guys have the meeting. Oh, we have the meeting open to the public right now.
Uh-uh.
That's what Lori just said.
Great.
Well, and since the public saw a glimpse of what contempt you have for the teachers, for the kids, and for the parents, every member of that Oakley School Board has now resigned. That's the update to that story. But the contempt for parents and kids continues in a lot of local school teacher unions here. Okay, quick time out, and then our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up next. The Dory Monson Show's Awesome Audio is brought to you by Davis Law Group. Stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. It is that time of the day when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
As we were on the air yesterday, throughout the day, we were covering the breaking news of Tiger Woods' car crash, and we now know more that he had compound fractures in both legs and ankle shattered. It sounds like it is very possibly career-ending for Tiger Woods, and man, horrible injury like that, there's always a chance of, you know, infection, chronic pain. After that, one of the most dominant. One of the things I will say, I heard a lot of people yesterday saying Tiger Woods is the GOAT. No. You know, I think you can make a case that Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time in basketball, that Tom Brady is in football. Jack Nicklaus is the greatest of all time in golf. Tiger was trying to catch him for most majors won, and Tiger's not going to get there. Jack Nicklaus is the greatest of all time. But Tiger Woods was dominant for his time and for his generation. Today, Donald Trump, Tiger Woods' friend, talked about his buddy.
I just have over the years, I've known him for a long time, and he was just always great to me, and I've always felt the same with him. I've always just liked him. You know, we had a good chemistry and always have, and I'm just, you know, I'm a fan of his, and as a golfer, he's just incredible. Him and Jack and a few others are, you know, very, very unique. Very unique people. And Tiger was really, I mean, he was intent on just getting it back to where it was. And then a thing like this happens. And he would be able to do it. Don't forget, he won the Masters. And when he won the Masters, people were not expecting that because he was just getting better from the back. And the back was a big problem. And the talent is so great that he was able to win the Masters with a back that is very very tender, yeah, to put it mildly, to put it nicely. But that shows you the level of talent that he has. You know, you beat a field like that.
Tiger Woods, the single car crash that may have ended one of the most brilliant careers in sports. Also in our awesome audio, Megyn Kelly. It was talking about Andrew Cuomo. I mean, Andrew Cuomo is under investigation for the thousands of senior citizens that he sent to nursing homes to their death. And Andrew Cuomo, the stories that are coming out every single day about him intimidating other public officials, other Democrats, saying that he would ruin their lives if they spoke out against him. Now, today, a former assistant to Andrew Cuomo talked about that he was sexually very inappropriate with back rubs and suggesting that they play strip poker. Megyn Kelly talking about Andrew Cuomo, who, remember, just a few months ago, people were saying, oh, he's going to be our next attorney general. He's going to be the next president after Biden. I don't think so.
Cuomo phoned him the next evening while he was bathing his kids. Quote, for 10 minutes, he berated me. He yelled at me. He told me my career would be over. He's been biting his tongue for months against me. And he says, and I had tonight to issue a new statement. And essentially asking me to lie, he says. He goes, this is a Democrat in New York. I heard and saw a crime the other day. And he's asking me to say that I didn't. This guy needs to be bounced out of office. It's not a cancel culture thing. This is you have a corrupt, lying, cheating criminal at the top of the New York State government. And it is beyond time for the press to stop looking the other way.
Yeah, but his brother, Chris Cuomo, maybe he can pull out that giant Q-tip prop for his brother's huge nose and get some laughs out of all of us again. Man, what? How does this just kill CNN's credibility? Like CNN ever had credibility. Good one, Dory. All right, and then finally, the guy I talked to at the Pike Place Market. I played you a couple clips from the interview, but there's a little bit longer one that we really enjoyed with Mike Osborne, a merchant. The produce and fruit stand, Sosie's Produce and Fruit at Pike Place Market.
Yeah, he was a big guy. Turned on me, and I cold cocked him once, and so he dropped a couple bags, and then he took a swing at me and didn't really hit me, but kind of shoved me out of the way. And so we had a couple of other punches thrown, mainly by me, and then he got by me, mm-hmm, and ran out of the stand and ran into the main arcade. Once again, I was not going to get robbed. At that point in time, my adrenaline was through the roof, so I just chased him down, grabbed him by the collar of his coat with both hands, and jerked him down, and he just went flat out on the tile, and that was the end of that.
61-year-old Mike Osborne. Score one for us old guys. All right, I got to get out of here. Tom Curlier coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I'll see you back tomorrow. High noon. Later.
For 11 years, you've heard me say, I'm listening. Well, you were listening, too. And for that, I am eternally grateful. Good night, Seattle.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.